Hey, folks, welcome to Draft Talk on Pittsburgh Sports Live. I'm Alan Saunders. That's Nick Faribault. We're talking NFL Draft and the Pittsburgh Steelers every day in the month of April leading up to the 2022 NFL Draft, which starts next Thursday night. Nick, we got some big Steelers news today as the team re-signed strong safety Terrell Edmunds to a one-year, $2.5 million contract. Saved themselves a nice chunk of money by declining that fifth-year option, although I guess this outcome certainly wasn't predetermined when they made that decision, but it turned out to be a nice move for them. They get to keep their starting strong safety and really lock up, I would say, now all but one position with at least a representative starter slotted into place going into the 2022 season, with that big exception being slot wide receiver. I think it's a pretty fair deal for Edmunds. Actually, I think it's a very team-friendly deal. That's a pretty cheap contract at $2.5 million, 1 year. So we'll have to do this again. But just first glance, I like the move, and I thought Edmunds had a really underrated season. I thought he was pretty good. His run defense maybe not up to the usual standard, but there were problems with the two layers in front of him that I feel like went into that.
I thought he was good last year. I don't think he's ever going to be an elite player. He doesn't give you playmaking ability. Like, that's the big thing. That's probably the reason he stayed on the market so much. But also, I think part of that, you know, people will take him being on the market so long as him not having interest. I think it was more so him waiting out to see if he can get a more lucrative offer. And then I think he's, you know, kind of getting here. He apparently had three offers on the table. So there was interest for him. And he comes back to Pittsburgh because it makes the most sense for him to come back to Pittsburgh. He knows Minka. He works in this system already. And so if he's, you know, only 1 year deal, so if he's going to get his payday, it's probably going to be back where he was in a really good defense with better front seven than it was last year, with probably, quite honestly, it's easily possible that they get better cornerback play this year as well than last year. So that's possible too. So it makes sense for him to come back. I think it's a good move. And again, the Steelers have a guy now with 60 games of starting experience at the strong safety position right there. Strong safety is not a panic spot anymore. They have the guy they need for this year, and they have a guy that is perfectly serviceable to start. And that is exactly what they needed. Edmunds can start every game, and the Steelers would not be any worse off for it. He's a good starting strong safety, and I think he's now one of the cheapest starting strong safeties in the NFL, which is really, I mean, quite a steal. He's pretty solid. As we've said, they've developed him. I think they have really developed him quite nicely, and this is like the first defensive back, it feels like, in a long time, they've truly taken from draft to now, and they've developed them. And you can argue with Cam Sutton, yeah, but Sutton came in kind of polished and ready to go. But, you know, Edmunds is raw, and they developed him, and he put in the work, and so he's back now, and it makes complete sense to me. Fits what they want to do in that two-high system. I think he's a nice fit for them. And, again, I think it gives him a ton more flexibility, and it just makes so much sense to me to bring him back, keep the continuity. You and I were both at the combine, and one of the big things that that Colbert talked about was like, okay, we would need to have continuity in the back end because we saw what happened on the offensive line last year, and it was not good. So you weren't going to let that same thing happen to the secondary. And they did. The only guy that out of their starting five that you would talk about that's not going to be back is Joe Hayden.
Maybe. He's still out there.
True. I don't see that happening, but.
I don't either, but as we see, it's certainly possible. Very similar to me in many ways to what happened with Juju Smith-Schuster last year, where he went out and looked at the market, didn't like what he see, and decided that if he's going to make a one-year bet on himself, it's better to do it with the team and the system that he's already familiar. So I think this makes sense for Edmunds, too. If he wasn't getting the deal that he liked or wasn't getting the term that he wanted, I think this makes a lot of sense. The other thing, you know, I think you feel really good about Terrell Edmunds is outstanding physical condition and never misses a game. Is in incredible shape. And so, you know, you feel very good about him being a reliable guy and not just talented, but available all the time. I think that's really been an underappreciated part of his time as the Steelers strong safety, is that he's always out there. He plays almost every snap of almost every game since he was drafted 5 years ago. And so I think that's a really underrated part of his ability and what he brings to the table as well. Now, does drafting Edmunds take safety off the table for the Steelers in the first round? Obviously, they don't need a free safety. They've got one of the very best ones in the league. They've got Trey Norwood, who seems to be developing as depth. They've got Miles Killebrew and Carl Joseph, so they have some bodies. It doesn't seem like they're in a this position crunch for numbers. It doesn't seem like a big need anymore, but does it take it totally off the board at number 20?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think, you know, one-year deal, I think that they want a playmaker there. I really do. And I think that's what they want. You know, that's been their whole focus for the secondary ever since Minkah Fitzpatrick has come in. Really, ever since Terrell Austin has come in, they've wanted ball hawks, right? They have looked at ball hawks, ball hawks, ball hawks. And that's what they want. And so they have playmakers. Akella Witherspoon is a classic playmaker. Minkah is obviously the best playmaker maybe in football at the free safety position. You know, Levi Wallace was a guy that had some ball production over his career. Cam Sutton has proven to be able to do that. Maybe not as lucratively as other guys, but he's proven to be able to do that. So turnovers are the name of the game for the Steelers. And so I think that they want a playmaker there. And there's plenty of playmakers in this class. Now, I think that Edmonds is a good safety. And if they want to, they could go as many years with him as they really want to. If next offseason he has another good year and they sign him to a three-year deal, would not surprise me. But I think – you look at what they have at 20, and we said this during the show, I think there's a few really good players they could draft there. Kyle Hamilton falling, obviously, that's a no-brainer.
But I think that one, even it doesn't matter. Like, that's just such a good player. There's no reason he should even be talked about it being at number 20. Yeah, I can see if he's there. I think the big thing also is that it takes their need from a current need into a future need. So I think it changes things a little bit. Like, we talked about the guys that talked about Sean, and we talked about Dax Hill, and we talked about like Jaquan Brisker and how those guys at the end of the first round might fit into the Steelers scheme. Well, now you're making that projection based on, well, they're not going to need to play almost at all in 2022 if you use that draft pick on a safety. You're talking about a guy who might get some sub-package snaps, might get some special team snaps, but really you now have the patience to develop into the player you want them to be. So like a player like Brisker, who I don't think like box safety necessarily fits his what he's done so far exactly, to me this brings that more into the cards, because you have an entire year to teach him the role. If you want him to put on some weight, you can do that, whatever. You know, you have time to really mold the player into what you want. And so I think it opens the door a little bit in terms of what they might be interested in if they do take a safety.
Yeah, I think it's a little less likely they take a day one safety now. I don't necessarily think that Sean or Hill are as likely as they once were. I do think that they're still very much on the board, though.
I think Hill really takes a good size drop, because he, to me, was the sort of like ready now guy of that group.
Yeah, he's also younger, though. So, I mean, you know, he's 21. It's, if he sits for a year, it's not a thing. I mean,
really, it's not bad, but I just thought like he's shown like a mental ability that I think would
Sean's plug and play too. Sean's one of the smartest players in the class. So either way, you're going to get a plug and play guy. And I mean, really, there's not, we're looking at the depth chart right now across the team. The first round pick's probably not going to play that much. I mean, let's be real right
now. Wide receiver.
Yeah. And they haven't shown the interest.
Really, any wide receiver would probably play.
They've shown interest in day two receivers, not day one receivers. They haven't shown interest in the day one guys.
They did, other than Jameson Williams, the two Alabama guys, and that's really it. I mean,
round two, I could start to name you all the different names they've started to look at. Round three, round four, they're going to draft a receiver early, and he'll probably start. He'll probably get the most playing time out of any of these players, to be quite honest. That receiver that gets drafted is going to play a lot. And so, really, you just look at the holes on the team, and they filled almost all of them to a degree where that rookie does not have to play. And now, if they will play, they're going to have to prove that they're really good and ready to play. And so I think to them, if the value's there at 20 and they have Sean or Hill really high on their board and they really like them, I think they'll take them still. I don't think this is going to deter them. Again, Edmonds is a future, you know, safety's now a future need, but so is cornerback. You know, they don't need to draft a cornerback, but they can if they really
inside linebacker. Now I think safety, corner, inside linebacker, those positions you can almost sort of put in the same box where like it's a future need, but not a current need. There are also positions where they have a guy, but could clearly upgrade on that player, like tackle, like interior offensive line, like quarterback, frankly. I mean, they have two quarterbacks. They just want better ones.
That's what you look at now, right? It's upgrading. It's for future needs. And that's what they're trying to do. Future needs
that is upgrading on the current talent level. I totally agree with that.
That's exactly what they're doing. And safety would be the same thing. You would get a different, you would get a playmaker and you would have ball hawks at both safety spots. That's what you would be doing. So I think this is the same for the whole roster. And I think now, clearly, I think clearly standing out to me now, there is one need above the rest, and it's wide receiver as the biggest need on this team.
It's the most immediate need anyway.
Yeah, like the most immediate need is wide receiver. The biggest future needs, obviously, the quarterback position. But this now makes safety on that same plane. Safety is no longer elevated anymore. But it is elevated in the same way that corner is elevated because they have shown so much interest in the pre-draft process in the safeties. So I think a guy like Seen, who fits with them so well, I mean, I could see them drafting him. Because remember, when they drafted Edmonds as well, they signed Morgan Burnett. Now, Burnett ended up being a complete bust of a signing, and they had to throw Edmonds in there early. But Edmonds wasn't supposed to play his first year. He was supposed to be a sub package linebacker type, maybe the dimebacker that would come in a little bit and play a little bit. That wasn't the plan, but he got thrown in early. So, you know, drafting a guy like Lewis Seen, and you know, I mean, I don't see a downside to that. They think he's a really good player and he's worthy of that pick. I think it's the same thing. You know, if you see a corner that's worth that pick, go with it. If you see a tackle that's worth that pick, go for it. Really, they could draft any position. And I think we're at this point now in that first round, they could draft any position to upgrade the talent level at every position aside from tight end and running back. And that's really the you know, other than obviously the specialist as well.
Probably would not.
Yeah, probably not edge. I mean, I don't think they would take edge unless, you know, something absolutely insane happened. And that we're not even going to talk about, like a Kayvon Thibodeau dropping or something, like that's never going to happen.
Right.
Unless something like that happened, they're never going to draft an edge. So probably those three positions. But outside of that, like I could see they could draft a linebacker, they could draft a safety, a corner, a receiver, a quarterback, tackle, interior. Yeah,
I think I can break them down. Like there's an immediate need at wide receiver. Okay, there are future needs. We talked about defensive line, inside linebacker, corner, and strong safety. There are upgradable positions where they don't necessarily have a present or future need. They just sort of have a lack of talent. Quarterback, pretty much all the way across the offensive line. And there are depth, and then there's positions where they purely just have depth needs. And I think that's running back, tight end, and outside linebacker. Outside of those three spots, that first round pick could really go any of the other directions.
Yeah, I think you have to throw safety into that jumble, and that's why I don't.
Yeah, I had safety there with corner, linebacker, and D line is like a future need, right? Like they need one for 2023. They just don't need one for 2022.
Yeah, and that's why I don't want to throw out Lewis Seen or Dax Hill just yet. And I think that those guys, that they are Steelers like players, and I think if the value is right, the board falls right, I think it's very possible that one of those two is still the name called at 20.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Seen, obviously, when we talked about the safeties, and if you scroll up here on the feed, there was a whole episode on the safeties. But when we talked about Seen specifically, he's just such a Steelers-like player. And I really do think a very good value for that number 20 pick, maybe even more so than Hill. And I don't expect Hamilton to be there. And I think Brisker is a bit more of a projection and like a little bit of a reach there. But I think that Seen, though, would be a very good pick for the Steelers at number 20, in addition to fitting that future need at strong safety. And I want to touch, you know, go back to, you talked about that, the chemistry thing. I think that's a very underappreciated part of this move is the Steelers offensive line fell apart last year after they tried to replace four or five starters. The Steelers went into this offseason with four of their five starting defensive backs going into free agency, right? Everyone except for Minkah Fitzpatrick and Cam Sutton. So I guess three of four, and also like important depth pieces. And they re-signed Akella Witherspoon. They re-signed Terrell Edmonds. They re-signed Art Mullett. Really, I mean, now the whole defensive back room is back. They even re-signed Miles Killebrew and Carl Joseph. Like they're all back now except for Joe Hayden. And so then they bring in Levi Wallace to replace Joe Hayden. So, I mean, they did a really nice job of securing that room and bringing back a lot of guys that know how to play together. I mean, Minkah Fitzpatrick strikes me as a player that is probably not always super easy to play next to. And you have a guy now that's done it many, many, many times over the course of the last three seasons in Pittsburgh. I think that's worth something.
Yeah, well, Minka's just harder to play next to because of the different roles he can do and the different things he can do. So you need a guy at strong safety that can play both strong safety in a traditional sense, but also go to the single high when they try to get Minka over the middle of the field, because otherwise you're just chainballing Minka Fitzpatrick to you know, single high. And it's, and not that that's not where he's good. He's obviously great back there, but you want him roaming the middle of the field a little bit, robbing the middle of the field, making quarterbacks think, where is he, rather than just making him a static kind of free safety. So Edmonds is able to do that. And that's been one of his biggest areas of growth, has been able to work in so many different areas. He's such a versatile player now. And so that's the thing. And I think they've done a nice job of that. The big thing that they're missing now is that star corner, and that's going to be the thing. And they need that number one corner to make this secondary really pop. And the question is going to be is, well, do they have that corner on the roster? I mean, maybe if Akella Witherspoon keeps playing like he did last year, sheesh. I mean, maybe. But that's where you bring in names.
Last like 6 weeks of last year.
Yeah, he was I mean, he was number one corner worthy at that point, though. But if you bring in, you know, that's where you get to names like Stingley, Booth, all those guys, McDuffie. All those names are like interesting number one corner types. But Edmonds keeps the continuity here, and it's going to make the secondary really good. And the secondary last year was honestly what saved it. Was the secondary at times, and then at other times the defensive line, meaning TJ Watt and Cam Hayward, that would at times really save the Steelers defense. They were not a good defense last year, but they forced a ton of turnovers because the secondary was really opportunistic and Watt and Hayward were animals. And that's really why they were able to win as many games as they were with the defense. But now this year, I don't think you're going to play at the chance. You know, the stars are going to be able to shine still, but I think you have a really nice all-around defense now because you have that upgraded talent level at linebacker. You know, Miles Jack coming in is instantly going to make the linebacker room better regardless. That secondary is going to be better now. I think you get, you know, more – I think you get that continuity. And I see Levi Wallace, you know, Joe Hayden, love the guy, great locker room presence. But at this point in his career, that's probably a wash, if not an upgrade, honestly. You know, Hayden's play, with his speed, it has just fallen off a little bit in recent years. And so that has been an issue for the Steelers. And I think Levi Wallace is going to be a nice addition to the room. Then you go to whatever draft happens. The defense has upgraded its talent level. And especially if they get Stephon Tuitt back, this could be a top 10 defense in the NFL. We are talking about a defense that can really do what it's done in the past, where maybe the Steelers don't have a great offense. And it's quite honestly, to me, you're not looking at a great offense right now, but you are looking at a defense that I think is on the rise yet again and could really bring this team to say, okay, if they make the playoffs this year, it's probably going to be because of their defense. I think Edmonds really is a nice step towards that. The continuity on the back end was such an important part of the factor for the Steelers in 2020 and 2021 that I think this is going to help them.
Yeah, I agree. And talking about that offense-defense battle, I still really feel like, I mean, even though safety is still on the board and a number of these positions that I talked about with either upgradable or future needs, like defensive line and linebacker and corner and safety are on the defensive side of the ball, to me, everything is tracking towards an offensive player at 20. And I still think they're most likely to use this pick on a quarterback. We just had on the site today a story that Malik Willis, the Steelers are the favorite now to draft Malik Willis at any point in the draft. It just, nothing has really broken up the train as we've gone through the news cycles here of something disrupting the Steelers seeming to be dead set on quarterback.
Everything is coalescing into quarterback for me because they filled all the holes aside from receiver. And we talked about that, right? It seems like every other hole other than receiver is not a panic situation. So they completely reinvent the offensive line, the interior of it at the very least. They bring back Chooks. They sign Miles Jack. They bring back Monte Adams. They bring back Terrell Edmonds. They sign Levi Wallace. And so you do all of this. And the question then is, you know, also, okay, they don't want to necessarily have to draft a quarterback if the board falls wrong. So, okay, we'll bring in Mitch Trubisky. And so they've set themselves up, though, I think, to where you now, if I look at that, you know, pick, you're not going to give away both day two picks. So whatever that day two pick is, if you have to give away one of 84 or 52, that's your receiver. And then now we said this back when I think we were, you know, looking at the free agent market. And I told you, and I said, I think everything is looking to where they could potentially be in a situation to where they can leverage whatever picks they have and maybe go up and get Malik Willis. And that is one of the things I think has been building towards it. I think they trade up for anyone, and maybe the only person they would trade up for in terms of, you know, significantly trade up for, they might trade up like three, four spots to get a Ritter or
ahead of the Saints. Yeah.
Yeah. To get a Ritter or a Pickett, but they're not going to trade up 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 spots for anyone else but Malik Willis. And I truly believe that. And so I think they have set themselves up for a position where to where they could comfortably say, we don't have any immediate holes to fill other than receiver. We're going to have another day two pick. We like the depth of this pick. So that day two pick is going to be a receiver. And now we can see what we have in terms of our trade offers. And if we feel comfortable, we're going to pull that trigger and we're going to go get Malik Willis.
Yep, I agree. And I think everything just keeps tracking to that. Today's news included. Nick, when we get back to this, we will start to wrap up those position by position sort of breakdowns. We will talk about the offensive line, which we haven't hit yet, the interior of the offensive line. We did the tackles, but we'll talk about the centers and the guards. Tyler Linderbaum has been much talked about and connected to the Steelers early in the process, not so much more recently. We'll talk about the edge rushers and the running backs and the tight ends, and that's it. I think we got all the rest of them. We got quarterbacks, we got corners, linebackers, D-line, wide receivers. They're all up there, all on the channel, and we've only got a few days left now before the 2022 NFL draft. Stick with us. We'll have more every day leading up to the draft, and make sure you like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Click the bell for notifications so you find out every time Pittsburgh Sports Live has a new video. Penguins, Pirates, Riverhounds. It's all here. It's all everywhere. And then you can also find us, if you're just a listener and not a viewer, wherever you find podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, check us out there as well. You can subscribe to those through the Transistor FM app as well. Nick, anything else before we wrap it up here?
If we're just talking about safeties, I think your sweet spot's day two. And we talked about some of those day two guys, Brisker, Cook and Cross. I think those three guys, Brisker, Cook, Cross, are the three to circle on your safety radar.
I would agree. If at all, they could now just skip it. It would not totally surprise me if,
or they could draft Marquise Bell.
I do like him too. I do like him as well. All right, for Nick, I'm Alan. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Enjoy the rest of your evening and your weekend, and we'll see you next time.